you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
We're reading from Luke chapter 16, verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. That was Luke chapter 16, verse 8.
O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Monday, April 15th, 2024, and the voice reading that great scripture out of Luke chapter 16 was Dr. Pastor Marvin Bembury. I met him a week ago Saturday at the Springfield and Vicinity Ministerial Alliance. He was asked by Bishop Franklin to share a devotional thought for the group, and we wanted more and more time from him. He gave a number of different messages. Everyone left encouraged and blessed. And one of the themes I wrote down, I have about 3 pages of notes, but it was impacting the world for Christ. And I want him to replicate some of the things he had to share, because some of my notes were making disciples of all nations. Are we busy doing the work, or are we missing the mission? Oftentimes we can get so focused or caught up on the project or the results that we forget why we're doing it and who we're doing it for. He was all about, let's be about the gospel, casting that net. I'm going to ask him to share a little bit about Matthew 4:19 and the importance of following Jesus. He had some great business examples that I think us Christians can learn a lot from. He talked about a burning mandate. Do you have a burning mandate, something that God is impressing on your heart that you need to take action on? He talked about 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I'm giving an overview, and then I'm going to let him share. And in fact, I'm praying up I can have him back for Testimony Tuesday, because there's so much to his story. And I'm just getting to know him. But as you know, I get pretty excited when I have somebody that I know is going to speak truth into our hearts, who's passionate about Jesus and is very accomplished in his field. But he wants us all to know about the importance of having that relationship with God, and that salvation is only found in Jesus. I'd put double marks around that. Do you want to impact your community, your area? Well, let's get revival going. Let's begin with revival in our hearts and our minds. And so, Pastor Dr. Marvin Bembury, welcome to our studios here. And you were a blessing to so many people, as you saw. People hung around. They were talking about it. I know Bishop Franklin loves on you and had you preach a message last Sunday, but what other things should be known about you so they can be better introduced? You're not here to sell a book. You're not putting on a seminar, but you have a lot of background experience in business and in ministry, being a pastor, I think 40-something years.
I've been in ministry for 40 years.
40 years.
I know it's hard to believe because I look so young.
Yes.
And those of you on radio that are listening today can see how young I really am. I got a face for radio here. So my background is both corporate and also ministry. I was blessed to be raised in church all of my life effectively. And so I came to know Christ at an early age and was called into the ministry. I began ministering at age 23 and have served in a whole number of capacities as a minister of the gospel and been pastoring now for about 20 some years. But alongside of that, my ministry has also been complemented by my work in the marketplace. I've been in corporate, large global organizations for 30 plus years and have had any number of positions of responsibility that have allowed me really to impact people around parts of the globe. And so between my ministry and the secular work, I've spoken to hundreds of thousands of people on 5 of the 7 continents of the world. My corporate background has been in HR, it's been in operations, it's been in government affairs, I've been a corporate lobbyist. My business background is also included, since retiring out of corporate, being connected with the John Maxwell Organization as a speaker, as a trainer, as an executive coach. I train and I lead and I help people grow, both in terms of leadership and personal development. And so when you just combine the two, both the secular piece as well as the spiritual piece, I bring that kind of perspective now to the work of ministry, which is why I opened with the scripture there in Luke, where Jesus says something, and it's a pretty powerful statement for our listener today to hear the almost rebuke of Jesus, where he says, the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. This is not a compliment, but it is actually perhaps an opportunity for those of us who are blessed to be on both sides of the fence to understand the power of business, the power of perspectives that come out of the marketplace, and how we can add that to the work of faith and thus impact the kingdom of God. And one of those aspects is the whole notion of bottom line results, right? Bottom line results, as opposed to only espousing theories and articulating ideas, but nothing gets done. In business, you have to get stuff done, right? And so when we think about this juxtaposed against the work of God, are we getting stuff done, or are we spinning our wheels? I read an article years ago from the Harvard Business Review that talked about that so many people just go through the motions, but in terms of bottom line results, we're not producing. And that same notion that was geared to a secular audience is also applicable to us in the body of Christ. Are we making a difference, right? Are we really moving the needle? Or are we just going through the motions?
And that espousing something, but how are we doing? So flush that out a little more, because you were talking about, we value our employees and some of the things, but is it really happening?
Yeah. One of the aspects of organizational development that I participated in a corporate setting was this notion of espouse theories versus theories in use or theories in practice. And many organizations, if you go into their buildings, their headquarters, they have placards on the wall that speak about great, noble ideas, integrity, valuing people, diversity, all kinds of incredible ideas. Those are the espoused theories. But when you talk to employees, you sometimes find that the theories that are espoused are not the theories in practice. And I think that we have to, as believers, examine ourselves and think, you know, are we just articulating what the Bible says? Are we just reading what it says? Are we parroting noble ideas versus are we actually doing the work of Christ, the kingdom of God?
Yeah, now what I loved is you kind of were casting a vision for all of us, is how practical are the things that we're saying? Are we not only putting them into practice, but are people receiving them? Do we have a burden that's evident that when we say we care about people, but then we just walk by them or discount them, or we may say something unkind or careless words? Is the fruit of the Spirit being evident in our lives?
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, take us back to that early age. Who helped introduce you to Jesus where it became real and personal?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I have to honor my mom, who just passed a couple of years ago, who lived for Christ for 60 plus years. And so she was the first person to introduce me to the notion of Christ. My mom was a Sunday school teacher, but she was also my own personal Bible teacher. She taught me the ways of God. She led me in the things of God, insisted that I was in church and in Sunday school and Bible class. And so it was that orientation and that acclimation to the things of Christ which allowed me to hear the voice of God. And as God was calling me into ministry, I did like a lot of people. I didn't want to go into ministry. I did not want. I had my own plan in 11th grade. I already knew what I wanted to do, and it was not ministry. And someone said, your arms are too short to box with God. And in other words, trying to box against the things of God is a futile undertaking. And the bottom line is I finally had to acquiesce to the voice of God and accept my call at 16 years old. Into the call of the ministry. I didn't begin preaching publicly for years later, but I accepted that the purpose of God was for me to be called in to do the work of God in ministry. that's kind of the thumbnail version of it.
I was thinking of that verse. I think it's Colossians 3:23 or 3:28. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. So you continued. Did you go on to college and begin thinking, okay, I can be a Christian in the business world? Or how did it merge to where you felt then to transition towards being a pastor?
So absolutely. While I was in college, I was doing the work of God in college. Mm-hmm. I was doing Bible studies on the college campus. And so there was no delineation between my faith and my work as a college student, right? And that's what happens when you're born again, right? Mm-hmm. If any person is in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And so I lived for God as a college student, eventually went into the business world. I grew in the business world, remained a Christian, moved into a corporate type setting, remained a Christian, operated with the level of integrity that's required of a Christian, and lived a life and got married. I have a wonderful wife and two children and one grandchild now. And so then felt the call to ministry. And so when I was in my early 20s, I accepted that call, began publicly preaching, began to speak and began to teach. And then since that time, have just served in a whole number of types of roles in church, in organizations. And when I moved to Illinois, I began to feel the call of God to pastor. There had been other opportunities, but those didn't materialize. But I knew God wanted me to pastor. And so we planted a church and began to launch that work. And God has been faithful, and we're thankful for that. And I'm thankful that I've had the opportunity to not only work here at the local level, but also work at a global level in ministry. I preach to hundreds of thousands of people across the globe, the message of Jesus Christ. You know, Brother Mark, there is only one message that saves, and that's the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Mm-hmm. And I'm so honored that He chose me to have this call into the ministry. And now I get to incite and provoke and to challenge listeners, people that are listening in today, you, that individual man, that individual woman that's listening today, that we have a mandate, and that mandate is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ for those who are lost.
You sort of touched on this, and I want you to encourage some of our listeners, because I've heard people say, well, that's more secular and this is more sacred. But really, God's called us to have everything, if you will, infused with Jesus, with the fruit of the Spirit. You shouldn't differentiate between secular and sacred. Touch on that. Somebody's going to work today and they're going, well, I'm going to my secular job today. Well, you can transform that workplace.
And God has called us, right? If any person is in Christ, they're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. God has called us to transform our environment, or to be an agent of transformation in our environment. So whether you're working in a plant, or whether you're retired, or whether you're in public ministry, whatever it is that you're in, God has called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And you cannot differentiate, if you're really going to be real about it, that this is something that I put on Christ in this environment, let's say at church, but when I'm at work, then I can't. No. When you're a Christian, it transforms everything that you do. One of the things that I had as kind of my own personal mantra in corporate, and again, I've worked for a couple of the largest organizations in healthcare and pharmaceutical and IT in the world. And one of the things that I had as a mantra was this: number one, I'm always a Christian. I'm always a Christian. Whatever I do, I'm always a Christian. If I can't be a Christian, then I probably shouldn't do it, right? So I'm always a Christian, number one. Then number two, I'm always a professional. So I'm always going to operate at a certain level of excellence, right, as a professional. And I'm always a Christian. And in fact, everything I do reflects who I am in Christ Jesus. So for those of you that are listening, that are thinking, wow, you know, I've got to go do this boring secular job or this exciting secular, whatever it might be. Listen, you get the opportunity in whatever you're doing, whether it's on the farm, in a rural area, or whether it's in a corporate setting as an executive, you get the opportunity to bring Jesus to every place that you are. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I'm thinking those people that are working, that are Christian, should be the hardest workers. They should be the ones that the bosses or those in supervisory positions say, wow, there's something different about you. I love your work ethic. Yes. I love that you're here on time. Right. I can trust you with these responsibilities because you've proven faithful. What is it? And it's because they're followers of Jesus.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great point, Mark.
Well, I know I'm going to have you back for Testimony Tuesday because I want you to share about Matthew 4:19. It was a wonderful message that you have read many times in your life, but you read it with new eyes. God was calibrating you to not only follow him more faithfully, but to recognize the importance. And there's a result when you follow him. And what does it mean to follow him? And then when you do follow him, what follows? And I want to save that for tomorrow's edition of Mark and Friends. But I want to go back. You mentioned Darlene, your wonderful wife, and God brought her into your life. What were the roles that she had, and what drew you to her early on?
So I met Darlene. I was working, in fact, my first job really out of college, and I was working in an employment agency designed to find people jobs. And I saw this attractive lady with her friend who came into the employment agency. Her friend came in for help in finding a job, and Darlene was with her at the time, and saw this attractive young lady. And because I was so used to asking people for their contact information, I just slipped it in and your phone number. And so that was, so what was I, probably about 23 years old, and the rest is history. 30-some years later, we're still married, and God has blessed us to have two children and now one grandchild.
So your church, New Beginnings Church of Lake County in Lindenhurst, Illinois,
correct,
you've pastored there. Darlene's the first lady. What
correct
roles does she have, or does she get to enjoy your messages? And
she often gets to enjoy the messages. Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that when my wife is my cheerleader, that's the biggest and greatest amen that there is.
Yeah.
If she tells me I preach good or God used you, then I know I really did.
Oftentimes we have spouses to kind of humble us if we get a little too prideful or full of ourselves. Like
imagine that.
Many a man is saying, amen, brother, amen. Well, in our closing couple minutes, you also shared about 2 Peter 3:9 and the importance that we recognize everyone is important to God. He desires all to come to know him. People that are politically on a different spectrum or socially or a variety of ways that they're very different, maybe even hostile to the things we stand for, but they're important to God.
Absolutely. Yeah, Brother Mark, I think that is one of the most important elements that we must remember as people of the body of Christ. The Lord desires that everyone would be saved, which means then that every soul is valuable to Jesus Christ, including those that often the church has unwittingly or ignorantly marginalized because of certain lifestyles or certain sins. Jesus loves everybody. And the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance, which also suggests to us that we in the body of Christ have a responsibility to create an environment and a perspective of Jesus that is so enticing that whoever hears the message of Jesus Christ feels like it is okay to turn their life over to Jesus. They are not less than because of their sin. Jesus loves everybody. And that's the message that we must promulgate, that we must propagate for everyone. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter your gender. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter if you're confused. If it doesn't matter whether you're down and out or up and out. The Lord loves you. He died on the cross for you. And you can be saved. You can be transformed.
And the final word there's a lot of offerings in the world where you can find God this way or that way or look within yourself. But true salvation can only be found in Jesus. And maybe in our closing minute, for somebody that's struggling, they're on their way to work, they're trying to wrestle through heartache or disappointment or felt let down by the church, pray for that person or those individuals that are heavy laden to recognize who Jesus Christ really is.
It would be an honor to Brother Mark. Father, I bring that person who is listening right now, who is feeling marginalized, that person, Lord, who feels like they are on the wayside of life and that life and even Christians and the church has passed them by and have left them without hope. Lord, I thank you that you send the invitation. Come unto me, all who are struggling and are heavy laden, and you would give rest. And for that man and that woman, that listener that is right now contemplating their next move, and perhaps they're uncertain about that next move and struggling with the vicissitudes of life, I pray that you would extend to them your love and your care and your forgiveness and your hand of mercy upon them. Cause them to know, Lord, that you love them with an everlasting love. For that one that has left the safety of the church, Lord, help them to realize that you are married to them and that you desire fellowship and communion with them. And cause them to know you, Lord. As a consequence of this message today, as a consequence of this moment and this medium today, Lord, I pray that your love would just transform the life of that man or woman who's listening today. In the name that's above every name, Jesus, amen.
Amen and amen. Listening friend, if you made that decision to follow Jesus, we celebrate you. Welcome to the family of God. If you have further questions about how to have a relationship with Jesus, can you believe the Bible? What does it mean that God loves you? You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. Well, thank you, Dr. Pastor Marvin Bembry, for being available for today. We're going to have you back for Testimony Tuesday. And thank you for carving out additional time. And listening, friend, I just hope you were blessed by today's message, today's testimony time. And I hope you can come back tomorrow because there's going to be a special message about Matthew 4:19 about following Jesus, words that Jesus proclaimed to his disciples and I believe is proclaiming to you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Marvin Bembry with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.